Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Vanessa.
And welcome, everybody, to this special guest edition of The Women of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. We are lucky enough to be joined today by Duchess Chloe Angel of Coralville, Iowa, who is a contributing editor for MarieClaire.com and my low-key soulmate. We don't like to brag about that too much, though.
I was going to sing the theme song.
Yeah, go.
Do, 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 do. How's that?
Amazing. Perfect.
Do you want to just like tell Nick very kindly that we've gone in a different direction?
Nick, you've been replaced. We found an a cappella singer. She's got it covered.
I got pipes for days.
Are you going to start like touring with us instead of Nick and just like doing our sacred practice music, our ad music, all of it?
I think it's bigger than that. I think we need to start a band.
And what is the name of our band?
The Low-Key Soulmates.
Duh. No, it's got to be like the Snitches or something.
The Basic Snitches.
Wow, that was a little too quick. I now think you stayed up all night brainstorming ideas for this. So, Chloe, we invited you here today to bless a woman of Harry Potter. And I am wondering who you would like to bless today and why.
I would like to bless Molly Weasley, because of all the work that she does to nurture and feed the revolution.
Oh, I never thought of her like that. She is like the entire kitchen for the army.
The kitchen, the therapist, the person who gives everyone the sort of home and hearth that they need to go back out and fight. And I also want to bless her because she has a kind of wisdom and knowledge about the world that so often gets discounted and silenced. Like if you had a dollar for every time her husband or one of her sons is like, "He'll be fine, Molly, don't fuss." And she's like, "No, my fears and my concerns are based on real information. I'm not an irrational woman. Stop telling me to relax and smile more." It's so frustrating.
Do you mind pointing us to just like a moment in the text in which you feel as though Molly is demonstrating this brand of awesomeness?
Yes. There's a moment at the beginning of the sixth book where Dumbledore has gone to get Harry from the Dursleys, and they've gone via Slughorn's house, and then they come to the Burrow in the middle of the night, and Molly is awake. And she's there at the table with Tonks, and like she and Tonks have clearly been having like a deep and meaningful conversation about what we later realize is Tonks's like romantic life. Mm-hmm. That is clearly affecting her mental health. And then Harry shows up and she offers Harry and Dumbledore some food, some sustenance, some nourishment. Dumbledore goes on his way. She gives soup to Harry. And then Arthur comes home and she cooks for him. And like she's been up all day cooking and cleaning and taking care of not just her own children, but all of the people that she has adopted. It's such a vital contribution. And obviously I love "not my daughter, you bitch." Everyone loves that line. It's a super badass moment. But that's just like the culmination of all the work that she's been doing throughout seven books to keep people fed and safe and loved and whole.
Yeah. And I was just visiting some friends of mine who are foster parents, and they just brought up such an obvious point that I had never thought about, which is like, you don't get maternity leave as a foster mom. They got like a kid dropped off and they just like had to go to work the next day. And I feel like Molly is constantly dealing with that. Like she suddenly has to take Harriet and like there is no planning time. There's no adjustment period. There's just constant fires being put out.
Well, and the extra support that she does get is because Harry is special, not because she and her sacrifice are special. Like when they get extra security from the ministry, it's not to make Molly's life easier. It's to protect Harry, the precious creature.
How do you think Molly does hold on to her sanity, right? Like we don't see Molly with the self-care regimen. And like, I don't understand how she hasn't sort of lost her mind, right? Towards the end of the books, like everybody on that clock is just in mortal danger. She is not talking to one of her sons. Her daughter has been like kidnapped and taken into the like bowels of hell. Her husband has been attacked. Like she is keenly aware of how horribly wrong all of this can go. And yet she's still completely holding it together and is able to, when called, say, "Not my daughter, you bitch." Mm-hmm. Like, what is this strength? Like, where does it come from? I would be broken.
And I think we see instances of where, like, she's coming close to that. You know, there's that scene at the beginning of Order of the Phoenix where they're cleaning out the Black House and she goes to try and dismiss the Boggart and she just can't. Like, her fears are too much for her and she just can't do it. And it's kind of this moment where Harry realizes what the stakes really are. And, you know, he sees Molly in fear. And I think he has the same response that the rest of us have, which is that like Molly's unbreakable. Nothing can get to Molly. And then he sees her lose it and he's like, oh man, any one of these people could die, or one or more. And I know that you will appreciate this as someone who both enjoys and makes media for women. She does have a self-care regimen. She reads Witch Weekly. Yep. She reads Gilderoy Lockhart's books, not because she cares very much about how he vanquishes dark creatures, but because she has a thing for Gilderoy Lockhart. It's nothing compared to what it should be. You know, she's not like going for monthly massages and doing wizard sheet masks and taking wizard yoga. She's definitely not getting what she needs, but I do think we see her carving out time to do things that give her pleasure or at least distraction. And it's worth noting that gets made fun of. Mm-hmm. Like Witch Weekly gets dismissed as, you know, shoddy journalism, and Gilderoy Lockhart gets revealed as a fraud. Her self-care regimen is belittled and dismissed, and that's hard to watch.
So part of me wants to be like, she must feel such a profound sense of satisfaction, though. Like, she is filling the bellies of children, and she is taking care of Tonks, who's a warrior. Part of me wants to sort of, like, make her this, like, angel of the house, right? That is just so sure of her place in the world, and that what she is doing is, like, a form of radical hospitality lived in perpetuity. But like the other part of me knows that that's nonsense and that we need outside validation in order to feel good about what we do. And like she deserves a statue, right? As like one of the heroes of this war. It's really hard to feel self-satisfied when the only thing you get at the end of filling bellies is like a sink full of dirty dishes.
And here's the thing, if people were to make a statue to her, it would be her in battle with a wand in her hand in the "not my daughter, you bitch" moment. Not her making soup, not her counseling Tonks at the dinner table, not her like lugging the clock around, worrying every second of the day about the health and safety and lives of the people that she loves most in the world. All of that work goes, it's taken for granted. Like that sacrifice, that maternal sacrifice gets taken for granted. And it's also a good reminder that this entire series is made possible by maternal sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, Harry is who he is because his mother died trying to save him. And Voldemort is who he is because his mother, like, decided to give up her life for different reasons. Like, over and over again in the series, we see mothers taking huge risks for their kids. Like, Lily does it, Molly does it, Narcissa does it. And with the exception of Lily, everyone else's sacrifice is just taken as, is just taken for granted. Like, that's just what mothers do.
Right. Like, there should just be statues all over the world of women making soup for the revolution, right?
Yeah, and I think we, you know, when we talk about the histories of movements, we so often talk about the people who do the public facing work, the marching in the streets, the giving speeches at rallies, the, you know, standing on the front lines of a protest, and the contributions of women, which are often to, like, stand in the background or to make food or to be the sort of emotional support system of the important men who are out doing important things. Those contributions so often get sidelined and made invisible or downplayed. And it's a tough line to walk, right? Because you want to recognize women's revolutionary capacity to stand on the front lines and lead rallies and give speeches and things like that. And also, those aren't the only kinds of labor that matter. And that's not the only kind of contributions to resistance or to revolution that matter. And those big important men out on the front lines couldn't do what they're doing if they didn't have wives. And I mean like the person playing the role of wife. I don't necessarily mean the actual wives or even women, but you need that domestic support system in order to go out into the world and do capital G, capital T, great things.
And, you know, the people who are left behind by the people who are off doing the great things, their lives are made harder by the Gandhis and the Martin Luther Kings. And Gandhi's children, like, never got proper educations because they were busy following him around from, like, India to South Africa and South Africa back to India. And he made a vow of poverty, which meant that he couldn't afford to educate his children, even though he had gone to England and gotten a law degree, right? Like, and so, like, there are always, like, familial victims to, quote unquote, great men or these great causes. Mm. They're, in order to do great things, the people closest to you are being sacrificed, right?
And I think when women do it, that sacrifice is either fetishized or just taken for granted and not even seen or heard or talked about or memorialized in statues. It's just what mothers do or what wives do.
And when women are the people out there doing the great things, it's why aren't you home with your children, right? Mm. Like, where are your kids right now?
Right.
So there's a complete double bind in that. So what do you think, like, I mean, obviously offering a blessing to Molly, I think, is a lovely way to be honoring her. And, like, you know, I hope that some women listening are feeling themselves in Molly and know that we want to honor the sacrifices that they make in order for other things to happen. But, like, what do you think an appropriate honor for Molly within the wizarding world would be?
I mean, I keep thinking about Eliza Hamilton and, like, an orphanage, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, some other kind of systemic caregiving facility or organization that would relieve individual women of doing what Molly was sort of stringing together on a shoestring her whole time. You know, sacrifice sounds like it's a one-time thing and it's done to you, sort of let it happen, it's done to you. But actually, it's an ongoing series of choices that you have to keep making, and they keep being painful. And, you know, it's a nice way to think of the work that Molly's doing as active and involved, even though she's not sort of out casting spells on bad guys. I don't know, sort of like a living memorial rather than a statue. Statue is, like, cool. I mean, cool. But, like, what do they do?
I love that idea, the Molly Weasley, you know, soup kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, school for activism or school for resistance or, you know, like, something. I mean, this is why people love the DA, is that it's not a thing. It's an organization. Mm-hmm. It is a living, progressing, entity. It's not an amulet, you know, but there's the language in the book about how he feels like he's carrying around a talisman, but it's not a static thing. The reason it's so comforting is not because it's a metal or something. It's a living, breathing, active organization. So that's what I think the quote statue to Molly Weasley would be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking that the only time that we really see Molly acknowledged for her genius is when Arthur has been attacked. I don't remember who says it to Dumbledore, but somebody says, you know, like somebody should tell Molly. And he says she probably already knows that great clock of hers. And I feel like Dumbledore knows that, like, Molly has made this clock and that there is, like, sophisticated magic involved in creating a system by which she can know what is going on with her family. He's, in that one line, sort of honoring her genius of caretaking. And so I was just thinking, I like your answer better, but my answer is I would want that clock in the Smithsonian.
Here's what I want. I want it patented and sold to wizarding families everywhere, and for Molly to get all the royalties and put them in a self-care fund and to spend them only on herself and only on vacations where she doesn't have children to take care of.
Except that Molly being Molly, she would donate half of it to the Molly Weasley School for the Next Generation of Advocates.
Okay, we'll have to come up with a better name and acronym for that, because that's...
I'm a great namer of things, Chloe.
Sorry.
So, Chloe, as always, we like to end with a game on Women of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. And so I have made up a game, and as per usual, I have named it so well and succinctly and aptly because I'm great at naming things. And it is called Which Animal is Taking Care of Their Babies in This Way?
Wow, you are good at naming things.
I know. Okay, so it's a multiple choice quiz. So, question one, what animal can fit up to 15 babies on its body for transport? A grizzly bear, B, a possum, C, beavers, D, elephants.
It's got to be a possum.
Yes, it is an opossum. Well done, you.
Thank you.
I can't believe you didn't fall for my grizzly bear.
You know, elephant was close. I was wavering.
Yeah. Okay, question two. What animals make sure to have several mom figures in their babies' lives? A, polar bears, B, wombats, C, elephants, D, beavers.
Okay, I know what the right answer is, but you've also chosen my favorite animal in the world as one of the wrong answers.
Correct, I did.
Because my Patronus is a wombat. I feel like this is really unfair.
I know.
It's not the right answer. The correct answer is elephants, but you tried to trick me.
I didn't try to trick you. I tried to lure you.
Okay. You tried to lure me into talking about the greatest creatures in the history of creatures, the Australian wombat.
Okay.
Okay, question
number three. So far, you are getting 100%, and it's a four-question quiz, so best of luck to you.
Okay.
Question three. What babies live with their moms for decades? A, millennials. B, penguins. C, elephants. D, orangutans.
Millennials.
That, you know, it's a trick question because that is correct. But
so is elephants, right? Or orangutans? I don't know.
It's orangutans. But it is also millennials, so we will accept both answers. And I think that you get a bonus point for getting both answers correct. So with a possible 5 out of 4 score, Chloe, here is your last question.
I'm ready.
Which underwater creature whispers to its young? A humpback whale, B, a dolphin, C, turtles, D, manatees.
Oh, man. Humpbacks.
Okay, you're so annoying. You got 5 out of 4. Well, Dr. Chloe Angel, thank you so much for being on this first guest episode of the Women of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. And thank you so much for blessing our dear Molly Weasley.
Thank you for having me, and bless you, Vanessa and Ariana for creating this podcast and for letting me come hang out with you. It's super fun.
Yeah.
Wombats forever.
In 2 weeks' time, you can find me, Vanessa, blessing somebody on Patreon. I haven't decided who yet, so come to Patreon to find out who I will be blessing in 2 weeks. This episode of The Women of Harry Potter and the Sacred Text was co-produced by Ariana Nettleman and me, Vanessa Zoltan. Our music is by Nick Bowl. And this is a production of Not Sorry Productions with Night Vale Presents. We will talk to you all in 2 weeks on Patreon and in a month right here.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.